making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings. It makes sweet melody for the rivers that flow, the rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for my home and family, for life's joys that you've given me, for shoes on my feet, plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord, for my church where I worship and pray, for life's freedoms that I have today. Sweet Spirit, I yield your presence so real. Thank you, Lord,
for being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on that cross of Calvary, for taking my place, such mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Can we get an amen on that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Take your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, please. Luke chapter number 14. When you find that, if you would stand to your feet, if you're able. Luke chapter 14, please. Say, why do we stand up and sit down so much? To make sure you stay awake. In honor of the Word of God, if you would stand, of course. And Luke chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 23 as you find that. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Verse 25, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able, with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. If you noticed in these verses that we read, in verse 26, verse 27, and verse 33, three different times Jesus talks about different requirements of what it is to be a disciple, but he phrases it this way: you cannot be my disciple. He makes it a bit of an exclusive group. He makes it pretty limited of those that would be his disciple. And to be honest, it's not limited by God's choice, but by our choice. And he tells us what requirements are to be a disciple. Let's have a word of prayer. I pray that you'd bless the service now this morning, Lord, and thank you for the song service and the blessing we've already had to be in church today. We are already full, but Lord, we ask for more, that you would meet with us, Lord, as we open your word, that you challenge and work on our hearts and lives, that we'd be ready to receive what you have for us. Speak to us, Lord, today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, as we see in verse number 26, at the end of this verse, it says, he cannot be my disciple. In verse 27, he says, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus is always calling sinners to repentance for salvation. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not looking for some and saying, well, you're saved and you're not saved, and that list is open to anyone, for all to be saved, right? Whosoever can be saved. But of those that are saved, you can be a disciple. It's your choice. But he tells us some requirements of what it would be to be a disciple, and he gives some instructions. You're given a job, and someone gives you instructions. They give you duties. They tell you what needs to be accomplished. But with the instructions, there's also expectations, right? They give you some duties. Do you have a title? Now, a title sounds good till you realize the duties that go along with it, right? Now, in today's day, you want to pay people for not doing anything. That's a different story. But when you're given a title, there's some instructions given with that title, but then there's also expectations that follow that up to make sure you're doing what you're told to do. And to be a disciple of the Lord, there truly are expectations that God gives to us. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciplined one, someone that disciplines their life and decides that I am going to follow Jesus. Now, that is not a light calling to be a disciple of the Lord. That's not a casual calling to be a disciple. As you know, when Jesus would enter a village, a town, or anywhere, multitudes of people came out to follow him, to the point where in the passages, specifically where Jesus would feed with the fishes and the bread, and of course that was the most amount of people, it would seem, that followed him when he was feeding them. And so they came out, and there would be up to maybe 20,000 people following him, the men plus women and children. And you had many people that followed and listened to Jesus. But then you had some that would follow Jesus anywhere that he went. But then you'd have some disciples, some disciplined ones, that they would follow Jesus everywhere that he went. Jesus called 12 to be apostles. Of all the multitudes that followed Jesus, 12 men were the ones that he called to be his apostles, disciples that he taught them specifically. Of those 12, there was inner three that Jesus called closer to him, that would go further with him to pray or up that Mount of Transfiguration. And that list of people shrunk over time, not because Jesus was trying to keep people out, but because people were not willing to be a disciple. When they went to hear Jesus and they saw the miracles and they got fed and they got all the stuff, then they went back home. But the disciples continued following Jesus wherever he went. That's what the apostles did. They followed him anywhere and everywhere. Remember, Jesus, it was said, he had no place to lay his head. You think, oh, that sounds great to be a disciple. We don't have food. We don't have a place to sleep. People are going to persecute us. And they go, I changed my mind. And that's many times what happened with a disciple. In today's day and age, today's Christianity, to be a disciple, to be a Christian, that word is used very loosely. The word Christian is used very loosely, and it's spread about among other religions and churches. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like. Today's Christians say, well, you can choose whatever Bible you want. It really doesn't matter. Well, I think God has something different to say about that, that God chose to inspire and preserve His Word for every generation. But today they say, just choose whatever Bible you want. Well, that's not what a disciple is. A disciple, that'd be like you going to work and saying, I know you have instructions for me, but I have another set of instructions I want to follow. And your boss says, that's great, you can follow those at home. You are dismissed. You cannot be a disciple if you're not going to listen to the instructions given to you. Today's Christians say, well, you can choose any type of church that you want. It really doesn't matter what church you have, just as long as you go somewhere, sometimes, you know, whenever you feel like it. Well, I don't believe that would be a disciple. You know, I believe the Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, which is today, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Today's churches want to do less and less and less instead of more. Well, the Bible instructs us that to work for the night is coming, that Jesus is coming soon, isn't He? And that as a disciple, today's Christians want to do less, not more. We want to be backing up, and we want to more of fit in with the crowd as opposed to being a disciple. You stand out from the crowd. A disciple, and some Christians today say this. Some would say, you can choose your own way to heaven. You know, it doesn't matter what Bible you use. It doesn't matter what church you go to. But it also doesn't matter. You can have your own way to heaven. That's what some would say. Well, I've heard some say before, well, your church is pretty much the same as mine. And I think, have you ever been to our church? Do you know who we are? Because you probably wouldn't have said that. But to choose your own way to heaven. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way to heaven is exclusive. It's simple. It's that narrow road of Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. There is no other way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. See, to be a disciple, there's some instructions. There's some expectations to be a disciple and a follower of the Lord. When I went to Bible college as a freshman, I was there like brand spanking new, just barely 18 years old. I had life figured out. No, I didn't. And I get to college and they told us they were going to have an intercollegiate basketball team that you could try out for. And I thought, that sounds great. The only problem is I wasn't a great high school basketball player, so I don't know how I was going to try to make this college team. And they were going to have tryouts. But I thought, I've never tried out for a sport, really, to where you get cut. You know, you play in Little League, and they try to make the teams even, but everyone gets to play. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to try out. And so they said, here's what we're going to do. I forget what time it was, but they had practice. And this was the week of pastors' conference. So not exactly a light week of tryouts and classes and conference and all this. They said, we're going to have tryouts the same week as pastors' conference. And so I said, sure, I'm going to give it a try. So tryouts started, I believe, at 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning. And they said, I don't care who you are. You could be the best player, the worst player. If you're not on that bus by 4:30, you're cut. You automatically, you're not on the team. And I thought, you know what, I'm setting the alarm. And I think like half the guys for the college went to try out. It was a sad group, to say the least. Not speaking of me, talking about the other guys, of course. And so we get on that bus, and we're ready to go, and we get to practice. And I had no idea what was involved in trying out. I came to find out it meant a lot of running. And they ran all kinds of drills and all kinds of sprints and running. But I successfully did not throw up after running. And I felt like I had done pretty good. And others were bowing over the trash cans as they went running. And they had a couple days of tryouts. And I thought, okay. And so we made it after a couple days. And I was trying my best. The talent just wasn't there, let's be honest. but they had their first cut. My claim to fame as I made it past the first cut. And I thought, yes, I got cut the second day. But I made it one day. And they said, you're not good enough to make it on the team. As much as I wanted to, I wasn't making the team because I wasn't good enough to make the cut. You know that Jesus Christ is looking for disciples. He's looking for those that will go the extra mile, those that will separate themselves from the world to be named with Jesus Christ and not to be named with the world. There are some instructions and there are some expectations to be a disciple. The first one we find in verse number 26 was a requirement of separation. If you see in verse 26, it says, if any man come to me, look at this, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children. Brothers and sisters could agree with this point, and brethren and sisters. Yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, if it doesn't even seem that you hate your own family, and to go a step further in even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Your love for me has to be so great that you'd go to the end of the world to follow me, that it would seem that you even hated your family. Of course, God is not telling you to hate your family. But your love for God should be so strong, your dedication to God should be so strong, that you are separating from those around you. There's a separation process to where if you're going to follow God, you're going to have to leave some things and some people behind to follow God. To be his disciple, you remember when Jesus Christ would go to those fishing and would say, follow me, leave your nets, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway dropped their nets and followed him. See, there's a separation process to be a disciple of the Lord. See, but what happens today for most Christians is we want to follow God, but we want to hold on to the world. We don't want to leave some things behind that our love, say, God, I love you, but I also love all these things that I'm leaving behind. And God says to that person, you cannot be my disciple. In order to be a disciple, your love for God should be so strong, your dedication should be so strong that it would seem that you hated others around you. Other people will not understand that dedication of your love. They will not understand the love that you have for God when you turn to a family member and say, I cannot go there with you because I love my Lord. And they say, but don't you love me? Don't you want to be with me? Yes, but I love my God. My love for my God is so strong that I'd go to the end of the world for him. In 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Your love for God should be so strong that you leave behind anything to follow God. Are you willing to be his disciple? You say, oh, I volunteer. I want to be a disciple of God, but I don't love him that much. I'm not willing to separate that much and leave some things behind. Then God says, you cannot be my disciple. You understand this? A disciple looks different than the others. A disciple lives differently than the others. A disciple has a love for God unlike the others. Some may come around to watch the miracles. Some may come around to be fed, but their love for God is not the love that they should have to be a disciple. See, there are many that come here today on a Sunday morning, and thank you for coming to church this morning. But for many, our love for God is only enough for an hour or two a week. Our love for God is only enough when it's expected of us, and then we kind of push back and say, God, I'm not doing any more. We see, first of all, the requirement of separation. In verse number 27, we see this requirement of suffering. In verse 27, it says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Maybe you'd say, yes, I love you, Lord, more than anyone else. But bearing my cross? You understand that Jesus bore a cross for us? That God is not asking you to do anything more than he has already done for you. God loves you enough that he bore the cross. He bore our shame and our sin on Calvary to die and pay for our sin, and went in that grave for 3 days and rose again so we would not have to experience hell. And he bore that cross and the requirement of suffering that was needed for us. Are you willing to suffer for the Lord? This past week, we noticed on Tuesday night, our air conditioning went out. You ever notice that your air doesn't go out when it's like 75 degrees outside? When everything is just good and you go to the thermostat and you tap on it and then you knock on it and you hit it a little bit and you kick it maybe and it's not working and you just go, uh-oh, uh-oh. And so open the windows up, try to cool the house down. In the morning, call them up and we're like, get here now. No, we didn't do that close to it. And it was pretty nice earlier in the week. And then by the weekend, it was getting warmer and hotter. And all of a sudden, summer came. We entered summer with no AC. That was a blessing. And I was telling someone in the back, someone else, their AC went out this week as well. We're just sharing in our suffering for the Lord. And I was okay until Friday when I knew it was going over triple digits. And it was like, help right now. Get someone here now, when they came and fixed it. But the suffering that we go through today is really not much. What God asks from us as a Christian is really not much when we're willing to suffer and to separate from things in this life for God. See, there's a cost in being a disciple. There's a cost. And today, everyone wants everything for free. I want everything for free, no cost, no work. I just want you to give it to me just because. We like the free handouts in our society today. I hope that isn't us here today, that we would work and provide for others, not just taking from what others give to us for free, right? Amen. But there's a cost. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. Everything comes with a cost. And we would say this, other than salvation, that costs us nothing. That's the only thing free as a Christian. That Jesus paid for everything on the cross. We receive salvation by faith through grace alone. It's free. It's a gift of God, the Bible says. Everything after that as a Christian, there's a cost that comes to that. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to leave this world behind? Are you willing to leave some friends behind and separate from the world to be like Christ? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." You've got to lose yourself for God's sake. You've got to leave this world behind to follow God, to be a disciple for him. It's a requirement of suffering. The book of 2 Timothy says this, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You say, wait a second, I didn't sign up for that. Remember, I went to that practice, those tryouts, those couple days, and I thought, we get to play basketball. And I realized, we don't get to play basketball. We get to run a whole lot. And I realized there was a whole lot of suffering that you'd have to encounter before you get to enjoy anything after that. And as a Christian, we will suffer for Jesus Christ, but are you willing to leave some things behind? Are you willing to say no to the flesh? Say no to a friend? Say no to this world for Jesus Christ? And then thirdly, we see the requirement of service. In verse number 33, it says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not," what's the next word? "All that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Hey, there's a requirement of service. God wants your all. You know that God doesn't want part of you. God wants all of your life. But too many times we tell God this, "Well, God, you can have this part, but this one's mine. God, you can have this day of the week, but don't mess with the other days of the week. God, you can change this area of my life, but don't change this one," because we're not willing to serve him completely. See, when you serve God, you realize he's your master. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other. Hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Here's the thing. You do have a master. You do have someone that you follow. You do have someone you listen to. Do you want it to be God, or do you want it to be someone else? Do you want it to be God, or your own flesh? See, when God's my master, I know this, that God loves me, that God cares for me, that God created me, that God has a plan for my life, and that God said, I'm calling you to be a disciple, not just to make you to suffer, not just to have you to go without, but because I have a plan for your life. And if you're willing to separate, if you're willing to surrender, if you're willing to serve, I have a plan for you that you'll never imagine. I have ways that I can use your life like you would never believe if you'll just simply be my disciple. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know the verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, what? Sacrifice. To sacrifice. That you present willingly your life to God and say, God, here's my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, what? Service. That God saves you and has saved you if you trusted in Jesus Christ, but now he wants you to serve him. He will not force you, but I get to serve him. I get to live for him. I get to do his will. I get to be a disciple of him. Are you willing to be his disciple? You say, yes, I want to be his disciple, but I'm not willing to put these things behind. I'm not willing to put the love issue aside and my life aside. I want to live for you. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll never know the will of God until you decide to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. See, too many times we think that we know better than God. How foolish is that? Sometimes we're even more foolish enough to think that this world knows better than God. And that's foolishness right there alone. But understand this, that God knows best. That God loves you more than anyone has ever loved you on this earth. That God died to save you, has a plan for your life, and he wants you to be his disciple, but he will not force you. You must be willing to follow him. He's calling, follow me, but are you willing to listen? I think of this song, By and By, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. Someday will be your last day in this life. Someday you'll stand before God, and God will either welcome you into heaven or have to cast you into an eternal lake of fire, a place called hell. But for those of us that are Christians, you know you stand before God someday by your faith in him. And when you stand before God, I guarantee you this, you'll think, I wish I'd given him more. I wish I'd given him more. I'll not wish I'd goofed around more and played around and done my own thing and ran away from God and gave into the things of this world. I wish I had done more for God. Are you willing to be his disciple today? Are you willing to follow him today? God is calling, first of all, in the area of salvation. You cannot be a disciple till you know that you're saved. Do you know for sure that if today was your last day in this life? You don't know that, and I don't know that either. But if it was, do you know for sure that you'd be on your way to heaven? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone? He loves you. He died for you. And there's a place in heaven prepared for you if you'd simply trust in him alone. But then secondly is this. If you know that you're saved, or would you say you're a disciple of the Lord? But even better yet, would God say that you're a disciple? Would he look at you and say, that person is dedicated to me, and there's nothing that I could not tell them to do that they would not do. They're truly a disciple. Or are we sometimes like those that come and follow Jesus for a period of time, somewhat to see the show, to see what everything's all about, but to go home just the same way that we came? Today's Christianity is come the way you are, stay the way you are, and leave just the way that you are. You don't need to change, you just need to fit in, and churches want to just fit in with the world. But that's not what God says. He says this, if it doesn't even seem that you hate your own family, you cannot be my disciple. He said, if you're not willing to bear your cross, you cannot be my disciple. He says, if you're not willing to forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. Are you a disciple of the Lord? Are you disciplined one that you've dedicated your life to God, not just Sunday morning only, not just on a day of the week, not a period of time, but it's a lifelong calling to be a disciple. Say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Let's have a word of prayer, heads bowed and eyes closed. Requirements of being a disciple. It sounds good, and it is. There is no better master than Jesus Christ. There is no better word, nothing better to follow than the Word of God. But are you willing to be a disciple? It again starts with salvation. Do you know for sure that if you died today, do you know 100% sure that you'd be in heaven? If you don't know that today, would you settle that matter? Would you trust in Jesus Christ alone? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you call on Him today? But and realizing as a sinner, we're not deserving of salvation. Ask Him to come into your heart to save you. If you don't know that today, if there's even a doubt, a question, a wonder, with no one looking around, would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? Say, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not 100% sure. If today was my last day, if I took my last breath right now, I don't know that I go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up right now and then put it down so I could pray for you? Is there anyone in this room like that at all? There's even a question or a doubt, so I could have someone show you from the Word of God. Not going to embarrass you whatsoever. Don't chance your eternity on a hope-so salvation. Then second question is this. Are you willing to be His disciple? Are you willing to forsake all and leave all behind and to bear your cross for the Lord, that cross of suffering for God? Are you willing to leave all behind to be His disciple? Jesus is calling. Are you willing to follow?